Doctors say that walking is great for our health. Well, that's true. Then my next guest is pretty much immortal. Now, you might walk to the supermarket or work if you're close by, maybe around a track at your local school. He decided to make a walk significantly longer. He walked around the world. Now, as you can imagine, he came across many different people, cultures, and certainly challenges. But as the title of his best-selling book reveals, he finished his walk. He tells a story in The World Walk, 7 years, 28,000 miles, 6 continents, a grand meditation one step at a time. Tom Tursich, thanks for being here today, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Tom's website is the obvious, tomtursich.com. We have that linked at our homepage as well. I've been doing interviews for a bunch of years. This might be the easiest first question I've ever had to ask anybody. Why?
Why? That is the question. Why walk 28,000 miles? I had a friend who passed away when I was 17, and it was just very formative to me. I realized for the first time, I really understood for the first time how short my time is here. And when I thought about what I wanted out of that short amount of time, I decided I wanted to travel, I wanted to be forced into adventure, and I wanted to understand the world. And I was looking for ways to solve all of those things, and I found Steve Newman and Carl Bushby, these two men who had walked around the world. One is still walking around the world. And that idea just lodged itself into my head and seemed to resolve everything I wanted out of life. And also, I was broke. I had no money, so walking seemed like a good way to travel.
This is true. That's very true as well. Now, obviously, you don't know everything that lies ahead. I mean, you had your basic plot and plan of a path, but to what degree can you prep for something like this?
You can't really do much, honestly. I would research routes. I'd research, you know, how to cross borders. What visas do I need? And I designed the route with, like, to make it as simple bureaucratically as possible. So the route was decided by me wanting to hit every continent and then do that with as little visa trouble as possible. But then once I actually began walking, I realized I had no idea what I was doing. The roads I was walking when I left my home in New Jersey and started into Pennsylvania, they were sinuous and dangerous, and I almost got killed like 3 times on these windy Pennsylvania roads. And so immediately I realized I need to figure out a better way to walk, just covering miles. And then I need to figure out where to camp each night, how much water to carry, how much food to eat each day. And really that first month was a lot of trial and error. And all the way down the U.S. was a lot of trial and error. So you can't really plan too much. You just got to go out there and screw up a bunch.
And I guess, too, in a way, you're trying to get a feel of things on basically your home field advantage. So if you don't think it's going to work out, you really don't have too far to fall apart and take it back to the starting gate. But as the book says, you pressed on. And in spite of many challenges, too, we're not going to get to all of them here because obviously wants you, the listener, to read Tom's story. But it's not just one of those stories that you bring in, you look at as a voyeur, because there are a lot of valuable lessons, which Thomas actually incorporated into his work as a public speaker as well, which you can find out more about at his website. But you had a companion along the way. You picked up a passenger, so to speak, in Texas.
That's right. Savannah. She is the first dog to walk around the world, and I adopted her 4 months in. A lot of it, like, it's very poignant what you said. When I was walking the U.S., I did that on purpose so I could figure things out and not be too far from home before, you know, in case things went wrong. And over those 4 months, I kept having this thought, man, it'd be really nice to have a dog that could listen while I slept or that could sense things about people that I couldn't sense maybe. And so when I was in Austin, Texas, the first day I was there, I went to an adoption center, spent about 2 hours there. And then right as I was about to leave, they brought out little puppy Savannah and her sister. They found them on the side of the highway. And I knew it was kind of reckless to be adopting a puppy to take on this walk around the world. But I also figured if I adopted an adult dog, they'd have maybe behavioral things ingrained with them. And maybe, you know, they'd be a little older. They have, you know, muscle or arthritis, something like that. But if I got a puppy, she would grow up on the road and she would know no other life. And so the first month was really challenging after adopting her, trying to get her trained and up to speed and then just needing her to grow and grow a little stronger. But by the time we reached Mexico, she was walking the full 24 miles a day with me and wouldn't have it any other way. And by the end, or, you know, after a few months, she was just a beast. She was ripped, and she lived to walk every day. That's all she wanted to do.
Talking with Tom Tursich, his best-selling book, The World Walk, 7 years, 28,000 miles, six continents, a grand meditation, one step at a time, tomtursich.com, the website. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Going through so many regions of our world, we always think of differences among people. What were some of the similarities that you found among people?
What is definitely universal is that people everywhere just want to make a little money and hang out with their family. And it doesn't matter where you travel, how far you go. What you realize is just people living everywhere. And I remember before beginning having these fears while I was laying in bed at night that, oh my gosh, one day I'm going to wake up in El Salvador and I'm not going to know how to navigate it, or I'm going to wake up in Peru and it's going to be so foreign and different. But then you get there and you realize, oh no, it's just people living, and the food's a little different. The clothing is a little different. Maybe the religion's different. You know, the language is different, but really no matter where you go, it's just people hanging out, trying to make some money and spend time with their friends and family.
Was the reaction when you explained what you were doing, were there common traits with the reactions you were getting between people and nations?
Yeah. I mean, it's like universally, like, amazed and excited. And they would ask the same few questions pretty much always. You know, why are you doing it? Where are you going? Does your dog like it? When I was walking the first 2 years down the Americas, those questions that I got asked over and over again, that was like my most developed Spanish, because I answered it like 1,000 times. And then in other languages, and French or Russian, Turkish a little bit, I could answer those few questions, because that was always, you know, the primary curiosity. Where are you going? Why are you doing it?
At what point did you think, you know, someone's doing a marathon race, 26.3 miles, and they just hit into an auto stride. They know they see the finish line. At what point did you say, okay, I got this?
Yeah, it was probably a year in, I would say. The first year from New Jersey down to Panama City, I was on fire with first the idea that I was living my dream, but then also with this real need to prove to myself and to prove to the world that I could do this. And Central America, it has every country but Costa Rica is in the top 15 of violent crime rate. And so it's just objectively a little bit more dangerous section of the world. And also I needed to prove that I could navigate this more challenging, more dense section. And I think once I got through that, once I got to Panama City, and then I flew over the Darien Gap and began walking South America in Bogota, then I relaxed a little bit and said, okay, oh, you can actually do this thing, and you are doing this thing. But I would say, yeah, it took about a year until I really settled in.
And certainly, as I mentioned, you do public speaking engagements for businesses and other outlets. And having spent time in sales, advertising sales, I was forced to go to many, and you just knew the person wasn't talking from experience. It was just more philosophical. But you, on the other hand, when you step up to the stage, you can bring certainly authority with things about setting goals and having resilience and, you know, goal setting and taking action. That's you, because you lived it. You just don't speak it.
Oh yeah. I mean, if I did public speaking before, I would have felt like such a fraud. You know, what do I have to get up there and say? But I lived this experience. I have things that I believe in now. There are things that I believe can make people happier and more effective in their business and in their life. And I really enjoy it, you know. Before, like I said, I just couldn't have imagined getting up on stage. But I have 7 years of lived experience. It took me 16 years, essentially, from when I first had the idea of walking around the world and completing it. So I definitely can speak to resilience, that's for sure.
And it was life-changing in a variety of ways, including your fiancé.
Yeah. I met her, Bonnie, in Washington State on the last leg of my walk. And we just hit it off, and she followed me around for a little bit. She drove out to meet me in Idaho, Montana, Wyoming. And then we dated for 3 years, and just recently, last week, got engaged. So it was the best ending to the walk I could have hoped for.
Congratulations for both of you. Again, you look at the story like this as something to see, but through Tom's writings in The World Walk and his sharing of a variety of experiences, you'll learn that it's a way to live your life in maybe not certain walk around the world, but certainly being more proactive with goal setting and taking action in your life as you see the need to. The World Walk, 7 years, 28,000 miles, 6 continents, a grand meditation, one step at a time. TomTosich.com, the website. Tom, you are indeed an inspiration in so many ways, and we can learn from a story like yours. It's quality, it's truth, it's real life, and we thank you for sharing it.
Thank you so much for having me.